Well, thank you for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. I love to share my testimony of when Jesus got me. I was born here in Bellingham. And actually, there's quite a few of you that are members here that heard this testimony before, but this is a little more detail. He said I could do the whole thing today. I grew up in Ferndale primarily, and I was not a good boy. In fact, when I was growing up, though, we did go to a church on Broadway. My parents, we went to church probably three, maybe six times in my whole time of growing up. And I remember sitting in a Sunday school class, Sunday school teachers, you're already gone maybe, and they talked about Jesus, and it was really attractive. And as a seven-year-old kid, I wanted to hear more. But then they put me up into the service that with these shiny shoes that my parents made me wear, and I sat there like this, and it was like, ugh. You know, and it just didn't feel right for a seven-year-old kid. Anyway, but as I was growing up, I had no interest in God beyond that moment. And I started smoking cigarettes when I was 16 and marijuana and that whole thing. And my dad was in the military, and my two brothers ahead of me were in the military, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was working at a grocery store, and this guy walks in this navy dress, white suit, as I'm trimming this lettuce in a store. And it was a mess. And he said, "Hey, young man, you want to see the world?" I said, "Yes." So I was 19 years old then, and I joined the Navy. And I remember, actually, I should tell you, just before I left, I had such a bad reputation in my neighborhood that when I knock on my friend's door, his mother would answer and say, "Fred, the gangster's here." That kind of hit me a little bit, like it should, right? So anyway, here I am, I'm going to the Navy now, and I remember knocking on the door when I was in school to be a torpedoman at a church on a Saturday, and nobody answered. So in my heart, I was starting to search, I realized, and actually I had church services that you were required to go to then, and I sat in the very back, and they had an altar call for going to get saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was in the back, and I was afraid of what people would think of me, so I didn't go. But anyway, I came home for Christmas, and I had to go to San Francisco to wait orders for a ship. And when I got there, it was this huge barracks, and it was really lonely. And I remember walking the dock and all these big ships, and I'm thinking, I'm going to be on one of those. That was kind of exciting, but there was nobody there to share this lonely experience with. And out of the blue, all of a sudden, this guy walks up to me on the dock. I think there was like four guys in the barracks, and it could have held 200 men. And this guy walks up to me on the dock, and he wasn't even a military guy, but he said, "Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus?" And I said, "I don't have time." This guy lovingly pushed me a little bit. And he said, "How about tomorrow night?" And I said, "Okay." So that next night I met with him after chow, we call it. And he had this gospel booklet, and it talked about how I was separated from God because of being a sinful person born from Adam and Eve. And there was this big gap, and Jesus, or God, was on the other side, but Jesus filled the gap in between if I let him. And so there was a prayer in the back, and I do remember this prayer, and I asked Jesus in my heart to forgive me, but I did have trouble letting him be Lord, I have to tell you. For a whole year after that, I was a typical sailor. And you can imagine what sailors do, right? But It was so beautiful because God never gave up. But I did realize, since that salvation moment where He planted that seed of salvation in me, that I was really miserable because I hadn't fully yielded. And I can say that now, but anyway, the Lord sent a brother on the ship, okay? And this brother was really good about sharing God's word with me. And one day he was typing, and he said, hey, as I'd walk by, or any man would walk by, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who should ever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Some of us have met him. Eric, you're up there. You've met this man. His name is Frank. He's come here a couple times over the years for us to get together. Anyway, I started fellowshipping with this guy, and it was like the Lord was okay, you know, and it was just a really cool experience to grow and start to appreciate what God said in His Word instead of what I was thinking, okay? But I wasn't quite mature yet. I was still smoking this stuff called marijuana, and I remember my memory was getting really bad, and it kind of spooked me. And so I really started reading God's Word more, and then I had one more moment when I thought, well, let's just go drinking in Arizona. I was in San Diego at the time. Let's go drinking in Arizona because the drinking age is 19. So two of my shipmates and I, we hopped in my van and we went to Arizona. And we were going to rent a hotel room and just party, right? Well, when we got there, it was 105 degrees. And there was this decision between us that let's go swimming. This is too hot, you know. And so we found a lake about the size of Lake Patton, okay? And I remember driving up to it, and there was just, they don't have fir trees there. They have shrubs, you know, that maybe got about this tall. And I looked across the lake, and there was one camper van across the lake. There was nobody else there. So we went swimming. And I was first to get out of the water, turning and walking back to my van after a few minutes. And there was this old man standing next to my van with a Bible in his hand. God's pursuing me. He didn't give up. And I said, would you baptize me? And he said, well, God sent me over here for some reason. And so, anyway, so he baptized me in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the two brothers, or two new shipmates, they weren't brothers in the Lord. They were in my van, and there was something. We had all these styrofoam cups because we were going to drink beer, right? And they said when I went underwater that styrofoam cups just blew all around in the van and impressed them. I thought that was pretty cool of a testimony for them. Anyway, we were going to go back that night to the hotel and go bar hopping. And I got in there and I jumped in my bed and I said, you guys go ahead. I turned the TV on. Guess who was on? Billy Graham. So I fell asleep watching Billy Graham. And from that moment on, it was just, I could tell you other stories about how the Lord got really close to the brothers on the ship that I was on. And we had a fellowship that was sweet. And it was just God ordained. We were just young guys trying to figure out how to walk and tell others about Jesus. And as we sought Him, it really worked. He was there. Like, you're in college and you experienced not being here in a local church, you know. And you had moments, I'm sure, that were just God-led moments. All of us. And I just want to say this. I'm just so impressed how the Lord, after He provided that salvation for every one of us, dying on the cross and raising from the dead, what really impresses me that He's pursuing us today so we can be close to Him and grow and have peace and contentment no matter what.
Wait, hang on. Did you ever find out who this guy was that showed up to baptize you or get his phone number or anything?
No, I never did. Wow. He was a man about my age now, and I'm sure he's there, you know, with the Lord. But I often wonder that and wish I did, but I wasn't mature enough. On that very day, I gave up smoking cigarettes. Thank you, Lord. I never smoked a cigarette since that day.
Amen.
I've made a lot of other mistakes, but yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks, Rick. Great job.
You're going to go there? Okay. Arlene's going to do it in a little bit. Okay. Okay. So, Randy, you're ready? Come on up, Randy.
All right, go for it.
Good morning. On March 12th, 2022, I woke up and I had very little movement in my left side of my body, my left arm and my left legs. And when I'd get up, I'd stumble around like I was been drinking. And I just had no coordination whatsoever. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was having a stroke. And anyways, later on, the ambulance came and they loaded me into the ambulance to take me to the hospital. And I remember thinking on the ambulance ride, well, this isn't too bad. I always thought a stroke would be worse than this. You know, I had my thoughts about me, and I was thinking about, you know, how the process is going to go at the hospital. And anyways, after a couple of days at the hospital, I had a second hemorrhage, and that's when things started getting a little weird. My mind was real fuzzy, foggy, and the doctors and nurses were even saying there might be some surgery necessary to stop the bleeding in my brain. And you figure at that point your chances are down to 50-50 at best. And that's when I really got freaked out and scared. Not so much scared that I was going to die and leave this earth, but that I was going to die and leave this earth without being straight with Christ. And that was a real scary experience and a scary thought. Anyways, there were signs pointing me towards that I should give my life over to Christ. Pastor Ryan would come in and pray for me. There was a nurse at the hospital who would come into my room and read me scriptures from time to time. I had a friend of mine in Oklahoma calling me in and praying with me over the phone. Gary Hardman came in one day and said that the Lord wasn't finished with me yet. As high as my blood pressure was that day, I should have probably died. But I was still alive, and Gary Hardman's words spoke to me and told me that there was a reason I was still alive, and that I needed to get all those things together told me that I needed to make a change. And I knew laying there in the hospital bed that I was going to need to make a change either way. And it was going to have to be a complete change, physical, mental, spiritual, 100% recovery in all those areas. So next time Pastor Ryan came in, I gave my life and prayed with Pastor Ryan, gave my life over to Christ. Thank you. And it's just been a thrilling ride ever since. I prayed every day for him to improve me as a person, mentally, physically, and spiritually, each and every day and every second of every day, to improve me and give me to the person he wants me to be, and he's done just that. And December of 2022, I had another trip to the hospital. I had a gallstone issue that led to pancreatitis, and so I had to go to the hospital again. But this time I felt the Lord was with me and guiding me through that trip to the hospital, and so I didn't feel as scared that time around, because I felt the Lord was at my bedside that time, even though Pastor Ryan still came in, and even Rick came in a couple times to see me during that trip to the hospital. Things were good that trip, though. I felt more comfortable in that time around. And here I am feeling stronger. While I was in the hospital during the stroke, I was wondering if I was even going to get out of bed and walk again. But here I am today walking, not breaking any speed records by any means, but I'm walking and doing a hell lot better than I was when I was in the hospital. And the Lord is who I need to thank for that. keeping me, making me stronger every day as a person, spiritually, mentally, physically, stronger each and every day and every second, every day with every step I take, he's making me stronger. And he deserves all the credit for that blessing.
Amen. Great. Keep it there. I'm gonna ask you a few more questions, Randy.
Sure.
Before the stroke, what did you know about the Lord? Had you considered that before?
Well, my great-grandfather was a Methodist minister, so I knew something of the Lord. I went to Sunday schools and things of that nature, but never really gave my life over to Christ until that point. When I was on, I guess you could say I was on death's door, and looking at it from that perspective, not wanting to leave this earth without being straight with Christ.
So you kind of knew in the background all along, huh?
Yeah, there was some background knowledge there.
How have you not been mad? Like you, your arm doesn't work the same, and your leg, and things have been hard. How some people, their God is the enemy in this moment. How has that not been for you?
Well, I feel that God is working with me through some people in my life, my therapists, my doctors and nurses, through my dad, his wife Delcy, through the people here at church, Brad, Annette, Russ, you, even Mark and Rick. I feel that they're working through everyone. That he's put people in my life to help me out. Kind of like when Moses parted the Red Sea, he doesn't remove challenges from your life. He gives you a path through them.
Yeah.
I feel that's how God's been working in my life since that day of the stroke.
Tell everybody what new ministry you began this year, too.
Well, I didn't start it. I've been working with jail ministries, doing Bible studies in the jail here in town, and helping people who are incarcerated to change their lives, and telling them that whatever plan you have right now, it's not working. You need a new plan, kind of like how I needed a new plan.
Amen. Well, thanks, Randy. Great job.
All right.
You got one more?
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Do you help me to? There we go. Great job. Arlene is ready now. Do you want to? There you go.
That's it?
Yep.
Thank you. Anyway, I'll start with, I became a Christian when I was about 13, but I come from a non-Christian family, but I'm not going to start there. I'm going to start with just this past year, because that's when everything has happened. So, I got married with Del here. About 4 years ago, the 5th of December. So, the Lord told me, he says, I love him. I love him. And I go, okay, you love him. You want me to love him? So I go, okay. So we did. We got together and we got married. And I was using a cane when we got married. I had hurt my back on Thanksgiving night, so I was in bad shape then, too. And the Lord told me, get your house in order. And I go, get my house in order? That means, well, maybe I'm going home. And I go, you asked Hezekiah to get his house in order. And yes, and he cried. And you gave him more time. I says, but then he did things later that weren't so good for the Israelites. They might have been good for him, but they weren't good for them. And I says, well, maybe I should just better do it your way, your timing. And so I come to this church, and I'm trying to get my house in order, okay? And so I learn Del was taking us to Bible prayer time before church started. And I'd never done that before. And I've never prayed in a group before. And I go, I just don't know how to do this, Lord. But after time, and with Julie there, she helped me. She's a great God-fearing woman. And I said, well, she could do it. Well, maybe in time I could do it too. So I was awkward for a long time. And then it started when you're focusing more on the Lord and talking to Him, you don't worry about who's around in the room. So it works out so naturally. So that felt better after that. And then I didn't know what else I was supposed to do. So we were having trouble with maintenance around here for custodial work. And I said, well, for part-time, I could work as a custodian here. So I volunteered for that. And I really love the job because I like to clean. And though they called me the way...
Special project.
I was also a deep cleaner. Yeah. So, and when I deep clean, I mean, it's clean. But that's one of my... Well, it's a problem in a way because, you're always going around fighting, well, this isn't exactly, right. No, that's not right. But you do. And then Julie one day says, you got to give some things up. And I go, darn. Dusting or whatever. I've given up dusting. House is full of dust. Anyway, but I says, that's not what you meant. I said, when you talk to the Lord, you give it all up. All up. Me, give it all up. So I had to give it all up, not just part of it. It had to be all or nothing. So it says, okay, Lord, all of it belongs to you. I'm trying to keep my hands off of it, and you just guide me through it. So that's what I started doing. And it was easier. It was not easy, actually. It's very hard when you're used to taking control and doing things for yourself that you don't let the Lord guide you through it. It's just like the power of the Holy Spirit comes through our surrender. If we don't surrender, then the Holy Spirit can't use us as a vessel to help other people and help ourselves. So when you learn this and you practice it, it's just something you got to do every day because we're all tempted to go the other route too easily. We are sheep, believe me or not. We're dumb sheep. And I can vouch for that because I was a shepherdess for a while. My son had some sheep, so I had the opportunity to learn what sheep were all about. And it was fun, too. We had a lot of lambs that the mothers weren't good mothers, so they didn't feed their children, sheep, their little lambs. And so we had to bottle feed them. And there was this one little one. We're getting rid of the whole sheep group because we're getting ready to move. And all the sheep were in the back of this pickup truck, and even the little lambs and the big ones. And it was the little lamb's time to feed. And I said, well, how am I going to find her in that big crowd? So I'm calling out her name. I says, Tabitha, Tabitha, where are you? Tabitha. And this little lamb, for some reason, found her way to the back of the truck. And then I could feed her a bottle. But I thought that was so cool because she knew her name. And so she came. It was just awesome. So it was a good experience to have anyway. Yeah. And so experiences. This last year has been one experience after another. So first, I ended up with a tendon problem. Tendon was either torn or whatever. So I'm wearing a brace on one leg. And I quit. I had to stop my job as custodian. And so I was laid up at home and walking around with this thing on. And that made it harder. So that was one thing that happened. And then another thing, there's just too many things. too many things. Okay, first it's back problems again, and then it was the leg problem, and then it was the shoulder problems. I had one shoulder, I had a fractured rib because my husband had to pull me out of the bathtub. I was having so much pain that I got myself in the bathtub to kind of calm down the pain, and it calmed down real good, but I couldn't get out of the bathtub. So I had to wait until he woke up, which was like 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was about 11 o'clock at night. So I'm in the bathtub, and the lights were off because I was desperate, believe me. And the pain was really bad. And so I got him up. Well, he was up finally in the morning. And I said, I can't get out of here. He said, oh, yes, you can. Just get up, you know, get out. I can't. So he grabbed me with both his arms and lifted me up, and I was so grateful he had the strength enough to get me up, to at least so I can sit on the side of the bathtub and get out of there. That was a great one. So that was a blessing, believe it or not. But I said, then we found out that he had fractured a rib. So I said, great, fractured rib on this side. Then on this side, days later, I got a strain. Don't ask me how I got the strain. I don't know either. But one night, the pain was so bad, I couldn't even move. I went to ER, I think. And so that was that plate. I still get it off and on. And so here I am with both shoulders are goofed up and one leg. And then my other leg starts acting up. So they swell because I don't know why they swell, but they swell. This one did it all by itself. Then that one took over. So you probably just want company. So he got company. And anyway, all the way through this, I know, okay, Lord, this is all happening because you want it to. It's for my own good. I says, boy, I'm a stubborn person. I must be to go through all this. And he says, I think he wants to make the point clear. Because you know how you say, oh yeah, I'm sorry I did that. And then you find yourself doing it again later on. I'm sorry. You don't take it seriously. And I think God takes it very seriously. And I think he's trying to tell me, I'm serious. But there's a lot of love in it because he does love us so much. He died for us. Can you imagine a stranger dying for you? A perfect stranger. I mean, there was nothing wrong with him. No wrong attitudes. No wrong habits. And he gave his life for us so we could have an eternal life with the Heavenly Father forever. I mean, you can't ask for anything better than that. And so I'm trying to understand God a lot more. So I'm searching, what is my God like? And he keeps having me travel here and there. I like to listen to other people, preachers, because I'm just curious. I says, well, are they teaching me or showing me something different? Or is there something I can learn from them? Or just something? So I look at different denominations and different preachers, and I actually can get different clues from different people. So I said, this is cool. And I felt excitement because I'm understanding God a lot more. And then this one guy, he says, God's really got a sense of humor. And I go, oh, he does? I says, well, in a way, you got to think about it. We all got a sense of humor, but so someone had to give it to us. So God is super, super sense of humor. it gets you laughing after a while, even though it's not funny in a way. But you laugh because, you know, okay, you mean it for my good. So this is great. Because if it's bad, you know, something better is looking forward. You're looking forward to it. And so I'm looking forward to the end of it, please stop it all. But I'm learning so much from it. You get kind of excited. Even if you take a little pain to learn, you want that pain so you can learn. It's a deeper learning and understanding of God and how much he loves us, how deep that love is, and he's always faithful. I mean, there's things that have happened to me that when it does happen, I say, okay, God, okay, you're always faithful. You're faithful in this because he's consistent. It's every single day. And so I can't complain, even though I'm going through pain and misery and not happy on one end. The body's not happy, but the spirit is happy because the spirit is growing, and it's just an awesome growth. And to really know my God and how much he loves me and how deep that love is, and it's been with me ever since I was a kid. But I didn't realize it. Well, I did realize it then, but that's another story. But he's always been with each and every single one of us from the beginning. And in all the things that happen to us, they're all designed from him. But we don't realize that. But if you could take the time to go back and listen or think about things that you've been through, see where God has really been there, where he has helped you grow, because he wants you to grow and learn more about him, because he is our focus, and he gets us through any trial that we are going through, no matter what the trial is. I mean, so I know a lot of people are going through some very serious trouble, and it's been many, many years they've been going through it. But God is in it with them. They're not alone. And God lets you know that. And he puts his arm around you. I've had his arms around me. I've had the protection of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit just surround me and protect me. And I can feel it. I know he's there. I know they're there. They're my team. They're my rescue team. And I always thank God for them every single day or every single time that something happens to me. And I know they're there and they're my buddies and they're helping me through it. And every one of us can feel that same peace, that same love, the same protection if we just come close to God and realize how good he is, how strong he is, and how loving he is and forgiving he is. So I guess that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, Bev, come on up. Bev's going to bring our final testimony this morning. Thank you, Arlene.
As a retired teacher, I still carry my bag of
tricks. Oh, you got to say it in there. Nice.
I said, as a retired teacher, I still bring a bag of tricks to... So, when I think of my life, I always, and I've shared this before in Bible study. Yeah, I have to get something out. I think of it being like a tapestry where the parts are all interconnected and God is that thread connecting all those pieces. And when I think of that, I have this wall hanging, which isn't really a tapestry, but I think of that. I see this on my wall every day. My son, when he was in Iraq, and this was made by widows and veterans for injured soldiers. So I just look at that, and I think all the pieces are in the right place. But then, and you can put it down now, and then another visual that will be part of my story are these two wallets. So, I've been in this church for about 25 years. I'm originally from Illinois. I'm one of six girls and one little brother. And my parents were believers. We went to church. We took up a whole pew. And at that time, we had Sunday school, but we didn't have children's church. So seven kids from, you know, little to my oldest sister would kind of get bored. We didn't have a balcony to go hide in or anything. And so Mom always had lifesavers in her purse, and she always had little tablets and pencils and crayons for us to entertain ourselves until, you know, we connected to the message. And I remember when I was five, the first earliest I remember about Sunday school and church was I was afraid of my teacher. I thought she looked like a witch in storybooks, and so I was afraid of her because she kind of preached hellfire and brimstone to little kids, and so I would take an opportunity to go hide in the sanctuary under the pews because I was just afraid of her. And sometimes they had to go find my mom and ask where I was hiding, so I had to tell mom where my hiding spot was. Now I work with preschoolers, and I haven't had any kids afraid of me so far, but anyway. But I'm also a wife and a mom of five, four boys and one girl, and a retired special education teacher, and I have one daughter, Amy, up there. And so when I think of the tapestry, I think of how they're all connected, but then I can look back and say, if I didn't believe, if I didn't have faith, then there would be holes in my tapestry that were disconnected. And but through all the trauma and the tragedies, God matured my faith. So I'll just share some. The toughest years was starting in 2005. My youngest son always wanted to be in the military. And so at 17, he had finished 2 years of community Running Start and community college, and he wanted me to, he said, I want you to go with me to the Army recruiter because I want to enlist. I said, you're only 17, you can't. He said, I know, you have to sign. And I'm like, but you'll go, you know, this was the Iraqi war. I said, you're going to go to Iraq. He said, I know, Mom, probably will because I want to be in the infantry. And I thought, but anyway, so he did. And then, let's see, when in 2005, I got a call from the American Red Cross that said he had sustained a concussion. Let me see some of the details. He said he had sustained two injuries on two consecutive days. The first one was a concussion, a blast from an anti-tank mine that hit his truck in Bakuba, Iraq, and that's when a multitude of troops were sent to Bakuba, and he was one of the first waves. And then the second day, that's when he acquired a TBI, a traumatic brain injury, when a mine hit his truck. But he had said, though, on this one road that they didn't go on, he had seen a hole with water in it, and it wasn't raining. So they know that that's where an IED is, or explosive device, and it did blow up ones that weren't in the striker. He was in a striker. But they did get fire, and he's the point man and his point man on his platoon, so he got out. They had to go through the jungle to set up an observation point. And he, after about 5 minutes, or after they got out of the jungle, and he said about 5 minutes assessing the situation on the road, he dismounted because he was a point man just to see what it was like. And an IED went off about 15 feet from him. And he lay there unconscious for a while until someone could get to him because they were still under fire. And so it took about an hour for the medevac vehicle to come, and as they were taking him there, said they were taking on machine gun fire. You know, I never knew any of this details because when he came back and after his injury and stuff, he didn't want to talk about anything, and so I never asked. I didn't know anything until he lives in Thailand now, until I just called him and I said, Pastor Ryan wants me to give a testimony. Do you care if I share? And I don't even know the details, Kyle, because I've never asked. So it was very interesting. So anyway, I didn't know all this stuff. But I knew he had and then when his commanding officer called me and said, he's been injured, yes, but he got the golden ticket home. And I thought, a golden ticket home? When you're talking about a traumatic brain injury 2 days in a row, and it's a golden ticket? That didn't sound right, but it was because he was medically retired and very well compensated as an Army vet. He said, let me see, what else did he say? Oh, they took him to a small outpost where he was treated for shrapnel. He said he had over 100 shrapnel wounds in his face and his upper body. So they took him there, and then from there he was flown eventually to San Antonio for treatment and recovery. Then once he returned to the States, he didn't want to be a recruiter. That was his option, because he has some nerve damage. He has one visual problem with one eye and deaf in one ear, but he looks the same. So, and he still seems great, but God did a miracle. And then another miracle happened on him in 2021 when his wife called me and said that he was in Bangkok in the hospital from another brain injury, where he was on. Many people in that small area of where they live in Thailand drive motor scooters, and they were just going to the market. And he pulled out on their road, and a motorcycle hit him, and he lay in the road. And his wife is a nurse, and they said they need $5,000 to transport him to Bangkok because it's an hour and a half away. So his wife paid it, and they sent him to Bangkok, and he recovered. But God did a miracle then, and he's still doing a miracle now because he's doing very well. So that was 2005, and then jumped up to 2021. 2008, I got a phone call from Whatcom County Sheriff, said there was an accident, and Kyle was killed instantly. And I'm thinking, no, Kyle's in the Army in Fort Lewis right now. But I knew it was my son, Ryan, who's 3 years older than Kyle, because while Kyle was stationed, was in Fort Lewis, he left his truck, he parked in our garage, and he let Ryan use it going back and forth to the oil refinery where he worked. But Ryan was killed in an accident on this rainy, foggy night. About 3 months after, well, okay, so, and Ryan didn't have his wallet on him. That's why he thought he was Kyle. I found Ryan's wallet on the grave of his best friend. Who had drowned, probably 8 years before. And, you know, I look at that and I'm like, Ryan, why didn't you take your wallet with your license with you? But for whatever reason, he didn't have it on him. It was on that grave. So I have Ryan's wallet here. And then let's jump up. And I forgot to mention, Kyle went to the chaplain all the time when he was in basic training, because he was like, I don't know. God, I need help getting through this. And then, you know, he continued to seek the chaplain and prayer going through the TBI injury. So, a few days after Ryan's death, I got a phone call, because the sheriff just said he died instantly. And then I got a phone call from a woman, and she didn't identify herself, and she was very short. She just said, I held your son before he died. And I'm like, she said, he lived a few minutes, although the sheriff said he died instantly. And she said she prayed for him. So I'm very thankful for that. And let's see, the next hole in my, would have been a hole in my tapestry, was 2012. A Saturday morning, I got up at 5, which I still do. I knew that, I missed something. I forgot to do, I skipped it. 2000, let's see, when was Ryan? Well, it was about a year after Ryan's death. It was a year before Ryan's death. I skipped. I have a son named Adam a year before. It's 2007. I passed over that one. Adam was a mechanic, and one day he was working under his, he was at work, and he was under the car, and he started having chest pains. And he asked his boss to go home. I said, you go to the emergency room. He didn't. Instead, Adam went to his home in Birch Bay, and his girlfriend came to the house about 4 hours later, and he was unconscious. And she called paramedics. They worked on him for about 45 minutes, and they said he was dead, but he had no heartbeat. And they revived him and brought him back. But he never recovered. He was in a coma for 5 years. But during that time, people from church visited Adam. Many other people who used to go to this church, and their mother was there, she used to visit Adam. And anyway, the neurologist asked me several times during the 5 years, did I want to disconnect because he would not recover? And I just kept saying, I prayed, but I haven't got any answers. Because the first few months, he would squeeze my hand. But I used that 5 years. I said, God gave me those 5 years to put Christian music on, replace the rap that he liked. So he got Christian music. He still got his country music. He got that. And I put headphones on him. And I played sermons for him. And so, you know, I don't know if I got through, but that's what the Lord told me. But one Saturday morning, I woke up about 5, and I'm like, I told my husband, Jim, I said, I don't know. I guess the Lord told me it's time to go ahead and let him go. So I did. And he lived about 8 more days. The head nurse where he was in a care center, I had told him, I said, I went there every morning before school, before I went to my job, teaching job in Ferndale, and after dinner every day, and did care things, and, you know, made sure he had music and sermons on and all that stuff. And I don't know, I just said, I guess it's time. God is telling me to let him go. But during that time, I think the Lord gave me that time to minister to him. And then the other wallet is Adam's wallet. One's Ryan's and one's Adam. And you know, until 3 years ago, I never looked in them. I had them in my drawer, and I never opened them. And three Christmases ago, well, right before Christmas, I had come back from Illinois, where my family lives. And I opened the wallet, and I'm like, I see Ryan's flagger thing, and I saw no money. I saw pictures, and then I saw a prayer request that he submitted to this church. And I opened Adam's, and he had the same thing, Adam's prayer request to the church. And both had requested, let's see where Adam's other one go. I think he had two. Prayer. Ryan was requesting prayer for Adam, who lie in a coma. Yeah. And both had requested forgiveness of their sins. So that was the best Christmas gift I could ever have had. Because, you know, they went to church, and then by the time high school came, you know, they got too busy with sports and stuff and didn't. But it was the best present. Oh, I'm not good with microphones. Where is it? Okay. That was the best Christmas present I've ever had, just to have that. And then in Adam's wallet, this is a poem, and I just wanted to share what Adam wrote. Okay, don't grieve for me, now I'm free. I'm following the path God laid for me. I took his hand when I heard the call. I turned my back and left it all. Could not stay another day to laugh, to love, to work or play. Task left undone must stay. That way I find that peace at the close of day. If my parting has left a void, then fill it with a remembered joy. And you know what? In spite of all of that, I have joy. And he's given me the peace, and he's given me the gift. And who was it? My cousin said, you should be crazy, Bev. I said, maybe, but, you know, the Lord matured me and saved me, and I wanted to end with what he said. When I had a scripture verse I found in John 16:22. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you. I'm just hoping today will encourage you that any of these ones that shared, the Lord's working in their life, he's working in your life, and he'll keep working in your life. So Pastor Mark, let's close with the song, and thank you, Bev, for sharing. Yeah, you did beautiful.